Well, desire and interest in your attention and your prayers for a little while this morning. I'd like to talk to you about a subject that I would guess all of us would like a little more of, called success. We know that the past tense of success is successful. Someone has been successful. Thinking about a story or a man in the scripture that I believe all of us would say was successful. There's a book in the Bible named after him. It's an account of his impact on the children of Israel. His name was Joshua. Joshua was a man that Moses kind of gave him the name of Joshua. He was originally, the name that he started life with was like Hoshea or something like that. I believe it was H-O-S-H-E-A. But Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim, I believe. And the tribe of Ephraim was one of the half-tribes of Joseph, a descendant of Joseph. We know that Joseph was the one that God used to provide a means of survival for the Israelites when the famine came to the land of Canaan. Joshua was a man that was used by God to take the wanderings that they had done for 40 years in the wilderness. He's the one that was the accepted and anointed leader that took them across the Jordan River and conquering the Canaanites. And he was the one that was able to, you might say, divide the land up to the different tribes. He's the one that was able to allow each tribe to settle down and inherit their portion of the Canaan land. And we know that the last chapter of Joshua gives us an account of him bringing a lot of things into the people's remembrance. And he says, one of my favorite verses of scripture, he said, "It's for me and my house will serve the Lord." And his challenge was to the rest of the children of Israel to choose to serve the Lord. And one of the last verses in that chapter, we'll go and read that maybe after a while. It says that all of the days of Joshua and those that outlived him, that knew him, the children of Israel were faithful. So I would have to think that Joshua would go down in our minds, in history, in the history of the scriptural accounts, as being successful. And I was thinking this morning, what can I use to help us to get a vision of success, maybe in a more literal or temporal, everyday thing. And I'm going to talk about a company a little bit that we're all familiar with because we're a consumer of their products. I would venture all of us here has been to their place and enjoyed some of their products. And I don't profess to know all the ins and outs of the company. I'm just looking on from a distance, and it appears successful. I know some of the details, but I don't know a lot. And that's a business that a lot of towns have one of their stores in our area, and it's called Brahms. Everybody in here has probably been to Brahms. And the founder of Brahms was a man by the name of William or Bill Brahms, and he purchased the basically the ice cream making process from his family. And it was located at the time in Emporia, Kansas, and he purchased that about 1968, I believe. And from that time, he and somewhere in the pretty, they also had another ice cream store that they sold ice cream. I can't remember. It's called Peanut Butter Cups or something. I don't remember now. But anyway, he agreed to not sell ice cream in Kansas for 10 years. And that's how their store and their everything ultimately got moved to, I say their store, their processing plant. And ultimately, in herd of cattle and things like that, got moved to Tuttle, Oklahoma. So Tuttle, Oklahoma is the place where Brahms comes from today. And so obviously there's been more than 10 years. And Brahms, in the first year, they opened like 20-some stores, I think. And I don't know how many stores there are that sell Brahms ice cream and dairy products today and hamburgers and those kind of things. But I'd say all of us would have some level of appreciation or recognition that Brahms appears anyway to be successful. And so I'm thinking about success in that fashion, and many times we look on at a organization or a person that has been prosperous or successful, and we look on that and we think it's real mysterious. It's like, how did that happen? Well, I don't know. It's some kind of secret that they found out and we don't know about. And many times the conclusion is that someone was just at the right place or at the right time, and it's luck. They're successful because of luck. And luck is this thing that can either be good or bad, but it was good luck that caused them to be successful. And you know, I know that there are things that happen in life, in the natural everyday thing, that seem to be out of our control, and it seems to be just fortune or chance or things like that. But there is something that is more impactful than luck. There's a reason that companies, 1968 to today, if I do my math right, that's 51 years. And people don't have 51 years of good luck, all right? You might have some fortunate things that happen to you. You might be, you might stop at a yard sale and they have something that's brand new in the box that they're discarding, and they might have $10 on it, and when you realize what it is, it's worth maybe thousands of dollars. Might be an antique, and it might be something that's never been used, and it's a very valuable piece of equipment, and you say, oh, it's just the right place at the right time. It's fortunate, it's luck, it's whatever, but you don't have 51 years of that, all right? So there is something else involved that brings success besides luck. All right? There's a real reason behind success that I want us to think about today beyond being lucky. All right? I feel that I have been very fortunate in my life to have been introduced and exposed to the plan of salvation from my home and my parents. I feel that that was very fortunate. But I'm going to tell you, that hasn't been what has been able to keep me. I'm 54 now. So it hasn't kept me for 50 years. You know, I know that my parents disciplined me, they corrected me, they began to teach me about Jesus before I was 4 years old. By the time I was 4 years old, that was a household word, was prayer and reading the Bible stories. That was, I grew up on that. But that hasn't been what has kept me for over 50 years. There is something else that goes in to success in the business world, in an occupation, in a trade. You know, you can feel real lucky. I hope you understand how I'm using that word. You can be feel very lucky to have a job at a certain place, but I'm going to tell you, it won't be lucky that keeps you working there. There's something else that goes into the formula. My father worked at a place for 33 years before he retired, and it wasn't lucky that kept him there. There was something else that kept him. And anybody that's worked a long period of time for one employer, there's something more than just good favor that keeps you there. All right? So I'd like for us to turn to the book of Joshua in the first chapter. And I would like to notice a few words in this first chapter that hopefully will begin to set the tone or the atmosphere for our thought today. In Joshua chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 1. And it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun." Now, we've been talking the last couple Sundays about voices and hearing voices. And here it says that the Lord spake unto Joshua. I don't know how he spake to Joshua. Did he speak in a very discernible, audible tone, like "I'm speaking to you today"? Or was it something in his subconscious mind that he heard the voice of the Lord? I'm going to tell you this. Joshua had to be in a place that he recognized who was talking to him. He recognized that it wasn't the enemy. He recognized this was the Lord. And I believe Joshua already had something in his attitude, his disposition, his character, to where he was receptive of something that the Lord would say to him. Remember, this is the man that 40 years prior to this had been one of the spies that went approximately 40 years prior to this, had been one of the spies that had went in and spied out the Canaan land. And when he came back, he and Caleb reported to Moses and said, "Yes, there's giants in the land, but we're well able to take it." And I believe all those 40 years, there was something more than chance and luck that caused Joshua to be in a place in his spirit, in his character, in his mind, that he could hear the voice of the Lord and recognize what it was and respond to it. I believe Joshua had been something we call faithful and diligent. How would you like to be stuck with a mass of people, over 6 million people most likely, that came out of the land of Egypt, when you consider all the women and the children, besides the men? How would you like to, or however many there was, it was a large number, and out of all of that, we had Joshua and Caleb and Moses, and maybe some of the priests, I don't know, Aaron, that believed the Lord would give them the Canaan land. You're talking about a minority group. That's what they were. How would you like to be stuck with them for 40 years wandering around in the wilderness waiting for all of the unbelieving adult males to die? It wouldn't have been a very good prospect, all right? But I'm talking to you this morning about what goes in to success, all right? So Joshua rubbed shoulders with these people that was griping and complaining and fault-finding and eating manna and not liking it and getting sick on other things it was not a good atmosphere. The Lord brought the old law into place. They established some level of worship because there was the tabernacle was being constructed and those kind of things. But here we are wandering around in the wilderness with people that they just didn't believe. But Joshua, here it says, he was in a place, the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou very courageous, that thou be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That thou mightest prosper. Did you know the Lord wants us to prosper? He doesn't want us to just look for a luck. He doesn't want us to just look for chance. He doesn't just want us to hope everything will line up. But He wants us to prosper. And Joshua was in a place in his character that he could be receptive of what the voice of the Lord was saying to him. And he had displayed, I believe, integrity and faithfulness through all of those 40 years. He was a man of integrity when they went into the Canaan land to spy it out. He was someone that came back and he was ready to go. I'm ready to go in right now. And because of the unbelief of the people, do you know how much perseverance it takes to have to suffer with people that you're not even guilty of it? You know, I think that there's a valuable lesson about public school, and this is not an advertisement for public education, but there is a valuable lesson that you can learn in public school. If you've got two or three misbehaving characters in your class and they won't be quiet or they won't be cooperative of the teacher in your grade school, you might miss recess. The whole class might miss recess. And you know, it doesn't feel very good when you're a little grade school child and you have to forfeit a beautiful day like maybe today is, and you wanted to go out and swing on the swing or ride the merry-go-round or whatever it is that's on the playground, and you've got to stay in because there's two or three little criminals that's in your class. You know, it just doesn't feel very good. But what if you had to live 40 years with a bunch of criminals? I say criminals, they were unbelievers. What if you had to wait till they all dropped off? That's the way Joshua was. And when Joshua come to the other end of it, God was able to speak to him. I'm going to tell you, there was more than luck here. There was more than chance. That's what I want us to get a hold of that. Joshua had something in place that made him be able to pick up where Moses left off, and he was able to be used of the Lord. He says here, only be strong and very courageous. And there's a real secret here that we want to get a hold of in these last few verses I'm going to read in this chapter. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, I want to be prosperous in my walk with the Lord. I want my occupation to be something that's prosperous for my family's sake. You know, I think sometimes about my own life, and I think, you know, I probably could have been more prosperous in the things of this world if I would have devoted more time to it. If I would have devoted, but there's been something else I wanted to prosper. I wanted the cause of the Lord to prosper. And I want souls to be able to be prosperous in their spirits. That's why I'm here today. It's not because I feel like I'm so good at standing behind a little desk and trying to explain a few things about the Scripture. It's because I want others to get a hold of the idea that you can prosper in your spirit. It's not just a chance. It's not just a fluke. It's not just, well, things just lined up and I feel good about God and I feel good about going to church and all those kind of, no, it's more than that. God told Joshua, Joshua, if you will follow what? If you'll observe to do according to all the law of Moses, if you will follow the instruction in the Scripture for us to follow, you will prosper. All right? If we will apply our hearts, if we will study the Scripture and allow the Word of God to be the governing factors in our life, if we will do that, we can prosper in our spirit. I could probably tell you some things that would help you be prosperous as a mechanic, all right? But I'm going to tell you that if you don't apply them, it won't just be luck. It'll be something else. You'll have a lot of failure. You'll probably be discouraged. If we're just waiting for a feel-good experience, long-term success will not happen to us. But we can be successful long-term if we'll follow the instruction that God gave Joshua. He says, observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Joshua was a first-generation law recipient. He was the first generation that had the law handed to him. Notice verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Let's read that again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. We're talking about success. We're talking about successful living for God as a Christian in our dispensation, in the time that we live in. If we're going to do it, then if times get a little bit difficult, I don't understand why I had some misfortune in life. I don't understand why I'm sick. I don't understand why I lost my job. I don't understand why somebody said they don't like me or don't believe in me or all of those kind of things. If we allow those to change our luck and we allow ourselves to go look somewhere else, long term we will not be successful. But if we, in those times, will turn back to the Scripture, turn back, Lord, there's got to be something in here that will help me during this time of disappointment and discouragement. If we will look to that continually and not let it depart out of our mouth, out of our minds, out of our reasoning abilities, I'm going to tell you, it will make our way prosperous for the Lord. He says here in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So, a few years ago, I don't remember now the situation, but we had bought a few shares of the local power company. I mean a real few shares. And Empire Electric. I guess they call it something else now. But something had happened and the value of them was going down. And the person that was taking care of that contacted us and said, "What do you want us to do? Do you want to sell out? We don't know where this is going." I said, "Well, if it keeps going down," I says, "you know, I believe we're still going to use electricity. So if it goes down to a certain point," I said, "I want to buy more. Because it's going to go back up. You know, we're not going to quit using electric lights and microwaves and all of that stuff. We're still going to use electricity. So if it keeps going down, buy more." Well, you know, When things are looking like living for the Lord is not working out real good, you probably need to just buy in a little more. You know, you want to be successful long term and things look like it's kind of crumbling and falling apart and it's not working out like I thought it ought to and like I anticipated, it's time to buy in a little more. Give a little more of yourself and get a little deeper. And a little bit more skin in the game, if you will. You want to be long-term successful? This is some of the secret. He told Joshua, "Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Don't let it, don't abandon it anywhere." I wonder if Joshua remembered that when they faced defeat at Ai. It wasn't a time for them to say, "Luck's changed. You know, we just marched around Jericho and the walls fell in. And we took a few over here because Ai wasn't very big." This was, you know, this was after this time right here. And Ai whipped them and run them back home. It wasn't a time to say, "Well, luck's changed. Must have a different plan. We're going to do something." No. What did Joshua do? He went back to the law. There's something wrong here. "Lord, show us where the problem is." When we feel like our luck has changed and we're determined to be successful long term, it's not a time to give up and think, "Well, I'll just go smoke a cigarette." No, it's not time to do that. It's time to dig into the Word and say, "Lord, what's going on here? Is there something wrong with me?" It's like the psalmist said, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me." It's time for me to do a little self-examination. And Lord, if there's something there, help me know what to do with it. Tell me how to fix this in myself, my problems, my shortcomings. Lord, I want to rise above this. And in the end, we'll be successful. So I want to turn now towards the end of the book of Joshua. Because if I stood here and read all of it, my voice would be sore and you probably would get tired of listening to me. But we're going to read some of the end of the book now. So let's go to chapter 23 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." So at the time that we was reading there in the beginning, Joshua was probably somewhere between 40 and 80. I don't know just how long where he was, but he was somewhere between 40 and 80. And we know if we read through the book of Joshua, it came to the point that he was able to divide up. The 22nd chapter gives us an account of him dividing up the land to the different tribes. And then we read that first verse of the 23rd chapter. It says that Joshua was waxed old and stricken in age. You know what's going to happen to all of us? We're all getting older. Those of you that life is just getting started, I'm telling you that sooner or later you'll find me in my age bracket. I heard someone say recently, if you're 55, you're not middle-aged any longer. I'm almost there. He said if your average lifespan is 76 for a male in the United States today, you're 55 is not middle-aged. That's over the hump. You just got to stop and do the math there. So he was old, all right? I don't know how old he was when this verse came, how long a time span happened between where we're reading right now and when he passed. But he says he was old. And verse 6 in this chapter says, "Be ye therefore very courageous." This is Joshua's admonition to the next generation. This is my admonition to the generation coming on behind me. You want to be successful? Don't depend on luck. You're going to have to put something else in place. You're going to have a plan of not deviating from the Word and going back and investing more when it looks like that things are going against you. It's time to examine myself and dig in a little deeper and say, I'm not going anywhere. I am going to apply myself and cultivate my relationship with the Lord, even though it looks like things are not turning out the way I want it to. He says, "Be ye therefore courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom, the right hand or to the left." Why did he say this to the next generation? Because the Lord told him that. Why am I telling you today that to be successful is not a time, to be successful long term is something that we have to diligently seek after. We have to invest in. We have to do more than just depend on a good feeling or a good sensation. We're going to have to be determined. I am not giving up. All right? So let's go a little further. In maybe Joshua, the 24th chapter, and the 15th verse, we have this scripture that I really like, maybe the 14th verse. Joshua had just recited in their hearing all of the victories and the places that the Lord had brought them through. And he said here, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods from which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now that's a challenge for me today. What are you going to do? You're going to allow the circumstances and the tides around you to defeat your success? It's a choice we have to make. And I believe with the help of the Lord, we can choose to be successful even though it looks like luck has turned against us. We don't have to succumb to emotions. We all have them. And our emotions, we all know this, our emotions is some days it's gloomy, and some days it's bright. Sometimes things just happen that makes us feel cheer. It could be the smallest thing. Have you ever noticed that? The very smallest thing that could happen. And I don't know how many of you have ever stumped your toe in the dark. All right? But if you stump your toe in the dark, you can be feeling just pretty good. And stump your little toe on the corner of the cabinet in the dark, and you immediately feel really bad. Have you ever noticed that? It just, that's an emotion, right? But I have yet to tear my little toe completely off. And sometimes it feels that way, but I have never done it. I've even hit my toenail hard enough that it kind of bled a little bit. But it didn't take my toe off. You know, that's the way our emotions, we can stomp our toe. We can have emotions that fall down, but we can have, you know, somebody could just send us a text message. The other day, my daughter-in-law sent me a text of one of the little grandchildren with this big smile on their face, and she just said, "I thought you might need a boost today." Well, obviously it boosted me to see the picture of this little grinning face sent to me in a text. And my emotions, they've been lower, but it helped, see? And our emotions can just go up all of a sudden. Does that determine whether I'm successful or not? It shouldn't. Our success is deeper than that. You know, our tides of emotion may, what does the song say? Run as it will. But it doesn't have to change whether we're successful or not. What do you think the people were thinking about Joshua when they came back from Ai defeated? Must have the wrong leader. Lost a battle. Must not be the right place to be. Those people down there was able to defeat us. But Joshua didn't give up, did he? He went back to the drawing board. He went back to the book. Lord, there's an answer in here somewhere. Where is it? That's what we have to do. You want to be successful in your walk with the Lord? We're going to have to go back to the book. Lord, I don't like this feeling. I don't like what's happening. Please help me know. Is there something wrong with me? Is there a direction I'm taking that's wrong? Just this week, I feel like the Lord gave me a verse that's encouraged me and helped boost my spirit. But I wouldn't have got there if I didn't go back to the book. And you won't get it either if you don't go back to the book. He says here, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What are you going to do? What are you going to allow impact you? And then in verse 31, it says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. I just want to say I believe Joshua was successful. This is a success story. If he can impact a people of that magnitude to where they followed the Lord all the days of his life, and those that knew Joshua personally, as long as they live, they followed the Lord, that's success. So I want to tell you, there's a lot of things in my life that I don't feel very successful in my capabilities. But this is one thing that I want to leave behind when I'm gone. I want to leave behind that as long as he lived, the people knew what was right and how to live for the Lord. And I want us to be successful here. I don't want you just to be successful while you're feeling good. I want you to be successful long term I want you to get a hold of something and know how to get a hold of it. And when the luck changes, you know how to be successful. You know, I don't know any failures, but I know there has been some failures in the Brahms business. They've had some things that didn't turn out so well. Maybe I can do some research and tell you about it, but I don't know them off the top of my head. I'm sure they've made some flops. Everybody else, they have those specials on some kind of special burger or something like that, and some of them disappear, and some of them show up on the menu. And that's those ones that didn't show up on the menu, they weren't successful. We want to show up successful in the end. So we have to know, Lord, help. We feel like we're being tried by fire sometimes, but Lord, I want to be successful. I want to be right where you would have me to be. I desire your prayers. I want to be successful. I want us as a congregation to be successful here. I want us to be able to read our title clear. So you pray for me.